I'm sorry. Were we on? I'll try that again. Normally, the process is we inform staff to turn the recording on before we gavel in, and I was just a little bit anxious, so I'm going to go ahead and gavel one more time just to make sure we got that all on the record. Today is the 14th of February, Oregon's birthday, everybody, and this is, of course, the Committee on Economic Development and Trade. We are up against deadlines, colleagues, and because of that, we are trying to get some last-minute details taken care of. We've got a couple of details that did not get taken care of in time. Let me give you the big picture, if I may. We're going to do a work session on 4023, the Broadband Advisory Council, the Broadband Bill. And as we discussed at our last meeting, we're looking at the Dash 2 and the Dash 6 amendments. We did not reach consensus on any additional amendments, and we're looking at sending that bill down, instead of directly to Ways and Means, instead to the Joint Committee on IT, where hopefully they can reach a final consensus on some of the outstanding questions there. We're going to do a hearing and work session on 4121, the House Wrap Bill, and Representative Marshall have her Dash 1 amendments on that. And we're also going to have some conversation about 4024, which we have referred to as our placeholder bill, and what the future potential of that measure may be. That's just a very quick overview of where we're at, and if I seem to be moving quickly, it's because we are scheduled to be out of here at quarter till, and I want to make sure we get done with all pending business, because this is our last chance at the bills that are before us right now. So I'm going to open a work session on 4023. And again, this is the broadband bill, and when last we met, we were talking about the Dash 2 and the Dash 6 amendments. Vice Chair Brock Smith.
Show on his green sheet. Right there.
I'm going to ask if you have anything to suggest regarding the Dash 2s.
Chair Gomberg, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments for House Bill 4023.
Thank you, Representative. Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Is there any discussion on the Dash 2s? Is there any objection? If not, motion carries. Again, Vice Chair, might you have any comments regarding the Dash 6?
Chair Gomberg, I move to adopt the Dash 6 amendments for House Bill 4023.
Thank you.
All right, colleagues, you've heard the motion. Is there any discussion on the Dash 6? Is there any objection? That motion carries. So, Ms. Leone, I'm going to turn to you at this point. We have discussed these issues in the past. Now we've got the amended measure before us. And we have all the paperwork that we need to move that forward.
Correct. We do have all, Mr. Chair, we do have the fiscal and revenue statements for both amendments,
yes.
And so we are able to move that this morning.
And so the intention is that that we've gotten the green light to send that to the Joint Committee on IT.
Correct.
Although it would still have the prior referral to Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, it also still needs the added referral to Ways and Means, so I think we have the appropriate motion to be able to do both of those.
All right.
Time.
Colleagues, any questions on process here? All right. Again, Representative Brock Smith.
Chair Gomberg, I move House Bill 4023 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Information Management and Technology and further referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay. It's got a ways to go. Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Is there any discussion? Yes, Representative Barreto.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So to go down to the Committee on IT, can you just give a brief description of the concerns that are still in the bill that they would need to work on?
Thank you for the question, Representative. As you know, when we met last, we were talking about a series of other amendments, and there was a desire to try and work out a mutually acceptable compromise on those. We simply ran out of time with the ability to do that, and so just to allow those conversations to continue a little bit longer, given our deadlines, sending it to IT seemed to be the appropriate option. Representative McEwen.
Chair Gomberg, thank you. This was a surprise to me as well, and I thought that the Dash 2s and the Dash 6s were acceptable in the bill, so for it to go down there to receive further work is a bit of a concern for me.
Noted. Thank you. Other comments? Other discussion?
I'm on that committee, so I'll be there to receive it. It'll be so pleasant.
That's scary.
Exactly.
Further discussion? All right, then we'll move to the main motion, which is again, could you just refresh our memories?
I will, Chair Gomberg. The motion is to move House Bill 4023 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Information and Management and Technology and further referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
All right, thank you again.
Can we take a time out, Mr.
Let's,
Chair?
Colleagues, we're back on the record. Thank you very much for your patience. Again, we have a motion before us that that is taking the amended motion and referring that to the Joint Committee and IT with the subsequent referral to Ways and Means. And I apologize if any of you were caught off guard by that. We received notice last night that the bill would be directed to the Joint Committee. So, Representative Brocksmith, I know you've read this twice. I just want to make sure that that everybody's clear on the motion before us.
I'd be happy to read it again, Chair Gomberg. The motion is that HB 4023 be, as amended, be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Information Management and Technology and further referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, any questions or discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion?
Faster pass.
If not, motion carries. And I will close the work session on 4023. I will open a public hearing and work session on 4121. Ms. Leone, I wanted to check the sign-in sheet. Really, eight people that would like to chat with us this morning.
Yes.
Investigate hot breakfast while they talk over there.
Ms. Leone, you want to give us an update on where we're at with 4121?
Yes.
And the Dash 1 amendments?
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4121 requires the Housing and Community Services Department to establish and administer a program to provide incentive payments, funding, and grants for certain energy improvement projects. We have a Dash 1 amendment that does some refinement of the program purpose and clarifies some definitions. It decreases the property owner income limitation and allows the Housing and Community Services Department to revise the program due to budget limitations within defined parameters. It also adds direct installation of weatherization and solar technology and affordable housing as an eligible use for at least 25% of the program funding. The Dash 1 also inserts a placeholder for the expenditure limitation. We do have the there is no revenue impact on the bill, and there is a impact statement. Further analysis is required of the bill in Ways and Means, where it has a subsequent referral.
Thank you, Ms. Leone. And I have several people signed up. I'm going to invite Mr. Chandler, Ms. Wisner, and Mr. Bauer to come forward. I want to give you every opportunity to share your interests and concerns with the committee. We are a little bit time constrained, so I'm going to ask you to be as concise as possible. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. John Chandler here on behalf of the Oregon Home Builders Association. In light of the time constraints, I'll reduce my 45-minute PowerPoint down to 43 minutes. Here in support of House Bill 4121, but guardedly so. The idea of using state resources, anybody's resources, frankly, to get more energy efficiency remodeling done, I think makes sense from an industry standpoint, it makes sense from an environmental standpoint, it makes sense from an economic standpoint. My concern with this bill, and I had a long chat with Representative Marsh in this regard, is solely limited to the giving of this responsibility to the Oregon Housing and Community Services Agency. I have a great deal of respect for the director and the staff there. This is way outside their wheelhouse as currently envisioned. And my concern is simply, do they have the capacity, will they be given the capacity to administer a program of this sort when they've never done so? With that said, needs must. There isn't really an agency to handle this, which is the subject of a different rant in a different committee about how nobody's in charge of housing policy in the state of Oregon, which seems to be regrettable considering how important it is. OHCS is probably as good as any in the absence. That fact, that statement is meant to be somewhat praising with faint dams, though, because we do need to have an entity in charge of housing across the board, policy, implementation, paying for, and so on. I would, if this goes to OHCS, I'd do everything I could to help them in that effort. I think it is a good idea and one that will benefit a lot of people should it be implemented. But I would also encourage you and your other capacities in this building to look for ways to increase the platform of housing policy in Oregon, so that we don't have to pick and choose amongst agencies that may or may not be set up to handle the task. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll be glad to take any questions.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chandler. We'll hold questions until everybody else on this panel has had an opportunity to speak. Ms. Wisner.
Chair Gomberg, members of the committee, I'm speaking for Tax Fairness Oregon, Jody Weiser. I've never seen a bill make so many wonderful improvements so quickly. I mean, rarely are there even so many improvements after half of a session. So real big commendations to those of you who have worked on that. I'm still concerned about who gets to have the benefit. For decades, anybody could get RETCs, and we've gone through a lot of money, and you look around and you know where you'll see solar panels. They will be on wealthier people's homes. It's been the easy pickings to go there. And it's time to shift the industry to a different segment of the population. So I think that if, and it's also, the figure, even though it's reduced, is extraordinarily high. You'd need about $220,000 worth of income to be paying and have an AGI of $187,000. That's 3.75 times the median household income in West Lynn or Lake Oswego. It's 10 times the median household income in Junction City. It's a really high figure. So I would recommend that instead you use a figure like 120% of the median family income across the state, which would bring it down a whole lot. And that would focus the efforts of the people that we're supporting, the industry that we're, industries that we're supporting, to go out and really talk to those people. And they're the ones who will really benefit the most from the conservation of energy through weatherization or the creation of energy with solar power. And so that would be my recommendation for a change. If it can't be made this year, it could be made in the future.
Thank you very much. Bauer.
Thank you, Chair Gomberg and members of the committee. I'm Gary Bauer with Northwest Natural. We provide natural gas service to approximately 600,000+ Oregonians. Appreciate Representative Marsh bringing this bill forward. Energy efficiency is extremely important to both the natural gas industry as well as the electric industry. We definitely want to see this move forward and energy efficiency move forward. As Mr. Chandler mentioned, it's going to an agency that doesn't have a lot of experience in this field. So we had talked to proponents about issues such as cost effectiveness and how to do that. We'll work with those folks during the interim in the rulemaking process to make sure that that if they develop a model or whatever kind of process the agency puts together, that they look at cost effectiveness of measures and look at, for example, the furnace that's currently there versus what's going to be installed, rather than some kind of generic model that may or may not actually be relevant to that individual's home heating issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for this panel? Thank you all very much. I have Mr. Miller signed up, and I, it's a little difficult to read. I may have another Mr. Miller signed up. Is there more than one Miller in the room?
I think that's the amount that they
didn't
want to.
Okay. Yeah. And before we get started, is there anybody else that had planned to testify on this measure this morning? All right, welcome.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, members of the committee. My name is John Miller. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Solar Energy Industries Association. We represent about 110 businesses throughout the state. So that's the primary reason why I'm here. It's the jobs associated with those businesses. In particular, our interest is in the rural areas of Oregon. That support from the RETC, when that was pulled primarily from the rural areas outside of the bigger areas like Portland and so forth that have access to the energy trust incentives. Those incentives are not available to many of the rural areas where many of our businesses work and many of our customers are at. So I think with respect jobs. I think that's when we look at this, we've also looked at Washington State when they've had incentives there. When they pulled the incentives, they lost about 25% of the jobs there. Our industry is about three times larger than Washington State. We've talked to many of our member businesses and had surveys, and it looks like about 30 to 50% of the jobs in Oregon would be lost without a replacement for RETC. So it's very important to our members, this bill itself. I think one other thing with respect to solar energy, and maybe it was our fault, the success of our advertising that we did. We tried to mimic some of the other housing industries. If you see some of the other housing industries, they would use something like the Street of Dreams to showcase their new technologies and new housing, the things that go into housing. But it in no way represents housing in general, the Street of Dreams. It's a fantasy, not reality, with respect to the vast majority of the people. The same thing's true with solar. I've been doing this now for over 15 years. Most of our customers, particularly in the beginning, it came from the rural areas, off-grid. They were definitely not wealthy, rich people doing solar. They were doing it because they believed in what it was. They believed in the future of future generations and being a good steward of their local areas and of Oregon itself. So it had nothing to do with wealth. It still really is primarily installed by middle income or even lower middle income that believe that what they're doing has an impact on the future. So it's not accurate to say that wealthy people are that most solar is going to wealthy individuals. It's just simply not true, and there's been studies that refute that claim as well. So I just wanted to make sure that people understand that these systems are actually being installed primarily by middle-income folks, and that's happening here in Oregon as well.
Very good.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Mr. Miller.
Good morning, Chair Gumberg, Vice Chairs, members of the committee. Thank you for the chance to talk with you today. My name is Tim Miller. I lead an organization called Inhabit, and we work in homes through our contractors every day doing the kinds of improvements that we're talking about this morning. I wanted to touch on just a few issues very quickly. One is on this agency question, which is a great question pointed out previously. Another is on cost effectiveness. And finally, I want to circle back to the real purpose of this bill, which gets to the income question you heard about earlier as well. So on the agency question, there was considerable thought about which would be the best agency to implement this important program. And belief is that the Department of Energy is not in a position to run an incentive program at this time. So on the bright side, OHCS, as stated previously, is as good as any agency. In fact, OHCS is a great agency to implement this because that agency already has the low-income weatherization programs, energy bill help and weatherization services, the LIHEAP program, the Oregon Energy Assistance Program, the state home weatherization effort, oil weatherization effort, and the low-income weatherization assistance program, a range of programs that are directly at the intersection of housing and energy. So that group has great experience in this. In fact, I know some of the senior folks over there actually were weatherization professionals in their past. They know this stuff. They work in it every day through a number of nonprofits and other agencies that they work through. So I look forward to OHCS getting their arms around this and implementing it with the expertise they already have. Regarding cost effectiveness, you heard about briefly, I want to point out that this bill, as conceived, is inherently cost effective because it pays on the energy saved or the energy generated. It doesn't pay blanketly on other metrics. It pays on the metric of energy and energy generated. So it is inherently cost effective because it's based on energy. Now, what it does even better than utility sector definitions of cost effective, which are fairly narrow, is this also, because it's coming from the public sector and your efforts, can consider the job creation benefits and all the other benefits that come along with doing that work in homes. So it's better than cost effective. It's on energy, it's effective, but it also considers broader factors. Which takes me finally to the purpose of this bill. Again, This bill helps maintain strategic industries in solar energy and in energy efficiency and the critical work that those entities can do. These are contractors throughout the state. It's designed and conceived to help Oregonians across the state. In some rural parts of the state, this would be the only incentive program available to those Oregonians. So this is really designed to be statewide, and it's an improvement on prior efforts because it allows lower-income folks who may not have a tax credit appetite, to access this program and improve their homes. So we think it's the right agency. We think it's the right approach in terms of being effective, cost-effective, and we strongly support this effort because it can help Oregonians across the state. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, any questions for the Millers? Thank you again. And again, I'll ask, is there anybody else that wanted to testify on this measure? If not, we are in both public hearing and work session. Vice Chair Brock Smith.
Yes, Chair Gomberg. Chair Gomberg, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments for House Bill 4120.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Is there any discussion on the Dash 1s? Representative McKeon.
Chair Gomberg, thank you for an opportunity to comment on the Dash 1. I want to thank my good colleague, Representative Marsh, for engaging in a conversation that I brought up, I believe, however many days ago it was, about the certification of people who are doing this work. I know that the Trust was engaged in this a very long of certifying what they call trade allies to make sure that the work that is done by competent people. And I want to thank Representative Marsh for being willing to engage in that conversation. As you see in the Dash 1, lines 12 through 14 make references to the Construction Contractors Board. I'm hoping in the rulemaking that there may be a conversation around using the expertise of an organization like the Energy Trust, who's been doing this for quite some time, to make sure that we are having competent people do this work and not attracting people from less seemly places who may be trying to take advantage of people who may have an opportunity to invest some money in their homes. So thank you to Representative Marsh for that, and I'm happy with what's happened with the Dash 1s. I also want to touch on Ms. Weiser's issue around the cap. I think she makes a very good point, and I think that is something that in the future we may want to revisit in a future session. That making sure that money is being spent where it can be, I think, the most valuable. So thank you, Mr. Chair, and I happily support the Dash 1.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Brock Smith.
Mr. Chair.
I was just calling on him for comments. I wasn't going to the motion.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I echo Representative McEwen's comments and appreciate the work that Representative Marsh has put in the bill. And also appreciate Jody's comments on the area median income issue. Having the 187 is a little problematic for me, but I love the concept of the bill and will move it forward and signed on to the bill and look forward to possibly revisiting that in the future session as well.
Thank you very much. Sorry to cut you off, Representative Barreto.
I thought you were going to go ahead and move it. So
no, I saw that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I agree with, I like the bill too. Apart from the 200 and then the 187 doesn't seem to bring it down to where I would like to see it. I will probably be a yes on the amendment, but would like to see it amended even further down in Ways and Means. So.
Thank you for that feedback. Anyone else, colleagues? Yes. Representative Post.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, on the same subject, I want to make sure that I'm understanding this right. In the original bill, it said $200,000 or less, which to me covers the issue that was brought up here in the testimony. I mean, or less. Could be $3.78. So this now says, if I'm not mistaken, $187 or more. So we've made $187 the mark, right? Am I correct in this?
Oh,
I'm reading delete on the amendment, delete line 31 and insert $187,000 or more.
If I may, the next part of that line is the payment is zero. The payment rate for any, if that's the cap, the payment rate for any energy improvement project on the property is zero.
If you're looking at the original bill, so if the payment rate is more than $187,000.
Did you get cleared up, or should I call Ms. Leone for a little more clarification?
Okay.
Not original make any bill payment. This.
Right. Okay. So if it's over 187, the department may not make any payment.
Right.
Representative Post, did we answer your question?
I don't know.
Ms. Leone?
Or Representative Marsh, maybe.
So, Mr. Chairman, Representative Post, the way that the amendment works, it is that the, so it is still, if the property owner has adjusted gross income for federal tax purposes during the most recently completed tax year of $187,000 or more, the department may not make any payment for an energy improvement project unless the owner is a nonprofit organization or the property is affordable housing as defined by the department.
Okay, so the line is not 187.
The line is 187 unless
below.
Thank you.
All clear? Further questions? Representative Marsh.
I appreciate all the comments. I just wanted to clarify how we got to that 187. We looked around at other work that's being done in the Capitol right now, and you may know that there's a lot of discussion about a first-time homeowners program. The first-time homeowners program, in its most recent form, used a 187 number as 2.5 times the Portland median income, as I understand it. So we thought they'd done the due diligence to figure out at what is the maximum level in which families may legitimately need some support for buying a home or making an investment in that home. Certainly, I think the door is open to relooking at that down the line. But I wanted you to know that there's a little science behind coming up with that 187 number.
Any further comments? All right, we're back to the motion to adopt the dash ones, and I'll ask if there is any objection. Seeing none, that motion carries. Representative Brock Smith.
Chair Gomberg, I move House Bill 4121 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Thank you very much. Again, colleagues, any discussion on this motion? Yes, Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, to have a no vote concern, I am going to be a no on this. Not that I don't agree with the bill, but I would like to see that dollar amount for the homes moved down. So,
all right. Thank you for that feedback. Any other comments? All right. I'll ask then formally if there's any objection. We'll note Representative Barreto as a no for the record. And seeing no other objections, the motion carries. And I will close the public hearing and work session on 4121 and open a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 4024. Ms. Leone.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 4024 requires the Oregon Business Development Department to study economic development in Oregon and report to the Legislative Assembly by February 1st, 2019. We do not have paperwork on the introduced version of the bill, but it does have a prior subsequent referral to what Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Colleagues, this was initially a placeholder measure. And we have had some requests for amendments that simply did not get to us in time. And in deference to the authors of those amendments, we're going to hear a motion to send it off to Ways and Means, where they may have the potential to deal with those amendments or not.
So if I...
Representative Brock Smith.
If I may, Mr. Chair, you have a copy of those draft amendments in front of you. This is relating to the Chetco Bar Fire Recovery Council's recommendations. It's for trail work and tourism promotion with regards to trails within the Chetco Bar Fire. Unfortunately, we just weren't able to get the amendments back. They should be back by 10 o'clock this morning, but because we're up to the deadline, I have asked the chair to move it to Ways, and I'm asking this committee to move it to Ways and Means, where I will not fall on the sword down there as far as the amendments are concerned.
Questions from the committee?
Chair, I'm a little concerned about sending off a bill into the ether, in essence. So, let's see, how do I want to do this? I will give this a courtesy vote, if you wouldn't mind noting that.
I understand completely, Representative. Any other comments from members of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I just have one question.
Please. Representative Post.
Well, I echo what Representative McEwen said. I want what Representative Brock Smith, I want to make sure that maybe we can get this done, but I'm concerned when you said amendments.
No,
I'm sorry.
I apologize if I slurred at the end of my my comment.
This is the only one.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Please. Okay.
This is what has been discussed. It's been out there for any amendments that people want. This is the amendment that's okay. Going to be moving forward. Again, it's because of the Chetco Bar Fire Recovery Council, and I know Representative Helfrich has some Eagle Creek Fire Recovery Council bills in. This is to assist in the trail maintenance and economic development, tourism promotion of Southern Recovery. I expect, and thank you, Representative McEwen, I expect all of your votes to be on record as a courtesy for this, and I appreciate it.
Representative Marsh.
Well, this is my first short session in the building, and sometimes it's already clear that sometimes extraordinary measures are called for in a short session because time is moving so quickly. I support the intention that Representative Brock Smith has in this effort. I've followed his work in Chetco, and I think reviving that recreational tourism sector is really a primary economic development benefit to that area. So I support the referral to Ways and Means, and we'll fill in the blanks as it gets down there.
Thank you.
Good. The other comments? Colleagues, if I may, I think the previous comments have really summed up the situation, that this is not the way that we prefer to proceed, but we've got deadlines and we've got desires, and it certainly, it was my intention to address this as a courtesy to the vice chair and to give him an opportunity to address this issue further in another venue since we can't address it any further here today. That being the case, I would ask for a motion.
Mr. Chair, because we do not have the paperwork, we need to do a procedural motion around suspending the rules to allow it to move without the fiscal and the revenue. So we need to do that first.
Chair Gomberg, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on HB 4024 without having the fiscal impact and revenue impact statements on hand at this time.
And that is a two-thirds majority?
Correct.
All right. Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Is there discussion? Is there objection to a motion to suspend the rules? Hearing none, the motion carries. Representative Marsh, or Ms. Leone, did you have some further comments for us?
So we're not.
Yes.
Chair Gomberg, thank you. Chair Gomberg, I move HB 4024 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
All right. Again, colleagues, you have heard the motion. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none. The motion is adopted, and I think that will be noted as a courtesy.
Thank you. Please.
And
you're out before 9:35.
We are indeed. Well, colleagues, it is Valentine's Day. I think most of us have committee meetings this morning, so I will issue an apology to any spouses, partners, or sweethearts that may be listening in with frustration. But thank you all for being here. Thank you for your attention today. I hope it's clear that we held the meeting until 9 o'clock, hoping to get paperwork back, which in some cases we did, in some cases we did not. Our next meeting will be starting at 8:30, where we will begin information programs, not intended to take the entire committee allocation of time, but certainly with the potential to expand to that. We're also looking to any Senate measures which may work their way to us in the very near future. Anything for the good of the order, colleagues? Thank you very much for your assistance and participation this morning.
Thank you.
So we're adjourned.